Blog Talk Radio.
From the deepest reaches of space,
some darkness approaching.
The ultimate enemy has arrived.
Phase one complete. Planet contact.
The tree of might will leave Earth withered up and dry.
I won't let the Earth be destroyed.
Who are you?
I'm your worst nightmare.
The battle for Earth begins. Tree of Might. Friday at 5. Only Tsunami.
Hey guys, this is Those Guys with your host, Matt Marrero, along with...
and Tristan Walter.
Hey, alright, so today we're talking about the third Dragon Ball Z movie, that whole Tree of Might thing. Yeah. Good movie, right? Well, not a bad movie. Popped up on
Fruit
Tsunami.
Fruit for the Eternal Dragon, right?
What?
Fruit for the Eternal Dragon, right?
Yeah, what I loved how they were just, you know, we need to call the dragon to, you know, bring the forest back to life. The dragon just feels like,
this is what I'm being called for. Kings called me about riches, and you want me to bring a forest? You know what? Fine. You know, you still have another wish available. The forest thing was extremely easy.
You know, just, honestly, yeah. I feel like the dragon would like that wish better than, you know, oh, who wants immortality this time?
Yeah, right? Fair enough. Just literally, the dragon was waiting.
And then they're going to ask for immortality.
Mortality. Can you bring back the forest so these animals have a place to live? Oh. Oh, God, that's adorable.
Forever?
Sure.
Fuck you, kid.
Forever, huh? Yes. Forever? No, he starts destroying the forest even more.
Oh, God, it's like you had to go on your own, didn't you?
Yeah, thanks, Gohan. But yeah, by the way, in case anyone isn't aware, you know, the DBZ movies do have different names, you know, based on the English and Japanese version, you know, because when bringing them over, you can't, you know, have, like, huge names. Like, you know, technically, you know, in Japan, it's, you know, Dragon Ball Z, the decisive battle for the entire Earth. You know, but at one point I've heard it referred to as Fruit of the Gods, right? At least the Tree of Might, right?
Yeah.
And it's very funny because just step up your game, America. Fruit of the Gods is an amazing, but no, it's the Tree of Might.
But Fruit of the Gods. They can't say God, remember?
I know.
I mean, just look at Kami. Huh?
Yeah, just look at... I thought his name was Kami. I don't. Why did I turn into Mr. Popo there? But yeah, I thought his name was Kami. I don't know. But yeah, there's a lot though to mention about this film, and we're gonna go, you know, bit by bit, just, you know, making a couple observations. If you haven't seen the film recently, definitely check it out. You know, to kind of keep up. It's, you know, we're gonna be pointing out really stupid, obscure, trivial, you know, trivial stuff, but we think it's funny, like Gohan's backpack, right?
Oh God.
Now, the reason why I have a problem with Gohan's huge backpack is because Chi-Chi sits back. He needs to live life like a normal boy. Yeah, give him a smaller backpack then. How about you don't let him feel like he's a super kid, all right? Don't, Chi-Chi, you're testing his powers. How about you just, you know, give him normal crap? All right, just don't.
Better not use my superhuman strength to lift this normally sized backpack.
It wouldn't happen if it was a normally sized frickin' backpack. But another thing that I would like to point out is that so I assume one of the things that he had was an astronomy book, right? Because there was an observatory. Observatory?
Right,
right,
okay.
Or Dalek? You decide.
Oh boy,
I don't know. Maybe he was studying Daleks. You know, Doctor Who has been around since the 60s. I wouldn't be surprised. Do you think, listener, that, you know, he's studying Daleks? If you think that, call us at 718-664-9468. Again, the number is 718-664-9468, and help us fund our Doctor Who crossover fan fiction. right? $1 a day keeps the Daleks away. And also, my pocket's a bit tighter. But I would like to say, though, talking about actual things that actually happened in the movie, I'm a big fan of Icarus. Like, you know, and this is the movie that they introduced him in.
Yeah.
You know? And it's very funny.
Purple dragon.
Yeah, I know, right? Icarus or Barney? I'm
Got
sorry. Hey, look, it's a big purple dinosaur. Anyway. But like I was saying, though. Yes, yeah, so I enjoy that this is the first time they introduced him. So it's, you know, it's like, hey, continuity. And even though he only appeared via filler, literally only filler, if anyone didn't notice for some reason, if anyone thought, no, that's a character from the original manga, and you haven't read it, please understand, he appears in movies 3, 4, and 5. He then appears in the Garlic Jr. saga, which, complete filler. I mean, it's based on the first movie. And then, right, skip ahead. And he was in that one episode, his last note appearance was that one episode with the driving instructor, you know, where Goku and Piccolo learn how to drive for some god-awful reason, right? That was the last time we saw him, and he was a bit bigger, right? So he grew a bit. And then no mention of him. Even years down the line, when Gohan is Great Saiyaman, had found some dinosaurs in a carnival, and he was like, you guys remind me of Icarus. Hey, I wonder where he is anyway.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so they clearly forgot or stopped caring or something, which is great, right?
Either that or Goku ate him.
Yeah, I would assume so. I know what you're quoting. I learned lingo. I learned things. I know what that is. That's those Team Four Star guys. Yeah, I know who those guys are. Cool guys. Good guys. So we have Icarus, and you know, he's cute. You know, he's nice. He isn't.
And
what?
Also, nigh indestructible.
Yes.
I mean, okay. Let's look at this. He gets shot by Turles and blown away, and he's completely fine. And in Cooler's Revenge, gets hit by the soldiers, is smoking from his back, and falls down into the forest. And I don't know if they actually go and find him later.
If that was his last appearance. Technically, well, actually, in theory, that could be how he died. No, remember, Gohan does fly back, but that could be how he died, yes. Imagine if that's just how he died. Like, that's just their canon, and they never decided to tell us. They just never thought it was worth it. Like, yeah, that's how Icarus died. Bigger man than I am. And he's a dragon. Yeah.
That makes me so sad.
It's okay. I'll make you feel better somehow. Let's talk about the fire again. So the thing about the fire is I like them cleaning up the fire and everything and making it all, like, because it was kind of cool. Also, them mostly, like, looking for the Dragon Balls, I think that was just a nice, like, okay, it's the third movie in the series of, you know, Dragon Ball Z, but in Dragon Ball, it's about, you know, the seventh, technically, because they had a few movies beforehand. So
right.
I think it's just nice that they're doing something a bit different, because, you know, they could have easily just plopped in the opening, called it a day. They have in other movies. They didn't have to do that this time, and I like that, where they were just thinking, you know,
hey,
to do
look,
something Turles different.
Is here.
What?
They could have just gone, oh, hey, look, Turles is here. Okay.
Exactly. But no, they actually, you know, tried something different, and I think it worked very well. It was very, you know, very entertaining, I feel. You know, it's just, and it also is a way to just, you know, it plays the music, it makes you know, hey, this is the opening, but it lets them do something rather than just stopping, halting the story for a minute and a half.
Right.
You know, which can be a bit of a hassle, because it makes people feel as if they can't skip this. You know, because people, I know a lot of our friends usually skip anime openings after a while. Maybe they only listen to it once.
Yeah.
So, So this is a great way to, you know, keep people listening. Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Also, I would like to ask, what do you think about Yamcha?
I
like him, right? But I don't think the writers do.
No, I don't think they do either.
No, and I'm not even referring to the you know, the comic relief thing later, because later on he was treated as comic relief, you know, with Bulma and with all everyone, and you know, teaching Gohan math, and you know, some you know, and Chi-Chi going, that's exactly what I'm worried about. It was funny.
I could help Gohan with his schoolwork.
Yeah, that's exactly
what I'm worried about.
Yes.
Oh.
But here's what's funny. Here's the thing. I'm okay with that completely. You want to know why?
Yeah.
It gave Krillin a break.
Oh,
I think
wow.
That was the best thing in the world, right? Krillin pointed and laughed at somebody. That was beautiful. It's like, you go, Krillin. Conform with the rest of them. Now, conform with the rest of them. Usually if it's Krillin, Krillin's like, hey, guys, you know, hey guys, you're ganging up on me. When it's someone else, ha, 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 Yamcha.
Yeah.
You know, just good job, Krillin. But seriously, though, it was nice. It gave Krillin a break for once. But the reason why I say, you know, that they don't like him is because, and by the way, when I say writers, I don't mean Akira Toriyama. I mean the writers for, you know, like this movie and for most other filler. Because most other filler treats Yamcha as this, you know, this douchebag playboy, which is very funny, because, you know, while I think there was only one instance in the, I mean, yes, I'm not saying that, I mean, Yamcha started off as a bandit. He's the farthest thing from the Virgin Mary, all right? But I still want to, you know, make it very clear that they only mentioned one time in the manga where it seemed as if, you know, there was a problem with Yamcha and Bulma, and then that's why, you know, she knew, spoilers, she ended up, you know, being with Vegeta. Spoilers, they have a
child.
I didn't know this, Matt. I'm watching this.
Oh,
all
God.
Those guys spoiled Dragon Ball Z for me. Sorry that, you know, we're 14 years too late. So anyway, but seriously, though, even more than that, actually. But seriously, though, all right, so, you know, that's the only time where it was kind of, felt as if Bulma was saying, hey, yeah, Yamcha is a dog, you know? And I was like, that was the one time. And even before that was the thing. I mean, yeah, of course, Toriyama has to, will usually approve certain things here and there. Mostly, though, he'll only really, you know, in movies. Mostly, though, he'll only work on the art and things like that. But it was still very interesting because it's just, you know, before we even get that scene with Trunks and, you know, and everything and, you know, Yamcha being this quote-unquote dog, the writers for these, you know, filler episodes and these movies and everything are just like, oh, yeah, Yamcha, let's make him that jerk. Just, yeah, I got a cruiser. Not even a car. I know it's a Funimation thing, but still. I'm in my cruiser.
The cruiser.
You guys destroyed my cruiser, man. I'm going to fight you because you destroyed my cruiser. I just wanted the one alien.
You know.
The one alien that said right was perfect because in my head it was just like, what is a cruiser? Is it what they refer to as family? We've killed a lot of families here. Like, I want to know what he's thinking a freaking cruiser is.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not here to, you know, save the planet, help you guys save the planet or anything. I'm here to avenge my car.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
Okay, Yamcha, that's great. You go do that.
Yeah, it's great. It's just like, you know, it's like, you're messing with the Earth's magnetism. Just like you mess with my babe magnet. Like, they're all looking at Yamcha. It's like, really, Yamcha? Yeah, it's like, really, Yamcha? The time for puns? Shut up, Krillin. Your name's Krillin. I know.
Like, no, Krillin's just like, leave the comic relief to me, bro.
Yeah. Hey, look, I have a bald head. Like, he's like, he makes a plan later that no one agrees with. He's like, what you have to do is, you just have to throw the spirit bomb off of my head. And it's a reflective surface, and it's pure bald.
Oh, God.
And they were like,
that's crazy enough to work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Goku's the only one who said that. Goku's like, that's crazy enough to work. Everyone else, even Gohan, no, Dad, no.
No, no, God.
No.
Damn it, Goku.
But do you have anything else to add? I heard that you have a lot of notes on the movie today.
Even King Kai comes in and goes, Goku, just throw the damn spirit bomb.
but no, I heard you tell me before, you know, before a little podcast that you have a few notes yourself. Would you like to spitball some things out there? I want to hear the, you know, comedy stylings of Tristan Walter.
Yeah, sure.
That sounds, when I say comedy stylings, I think of That you have a very sexy last name.
I'm flattered.
I think you should be. I think so, because it's like, look at the comedy stylings of Tristan Walter. Like, there's something about it that I just feel is just very nice and relaxing and...
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah. All right. Now, I don't know if I've unnerved you or the listening audience, you know, anyone. But you know, definitely, yeah, so talk to me, all right? Tell me what you thought about this little movie, this one-hour adventure.
One thing I wanted to point out at the beginning of the movie.
Right.
If anybody remembers watching the Frieza saga and the filler that, you know, Bulma, Krillin, and Gohan had to fly all the way out to Namek, it's that
right.
A, she doesn't like Krillin. B, she doesn't like being away from her pampered home. So that leads you to the conclusion, why is she A, camping, and B, with Krillin?
Because
I mean, granted,
inconsistent writing
there too, but...
Inconsistent writing is good writing. That's why. No, because
and
it's true.
Completely fine with it.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's just, you know, also, it's kind of funny, because what I would... That's why these are so out of continuity, that's one, and that's why, you know, a second thing, not only are these completely out of continuity, just like that filler was, you know, because if anyone doesn't know, yes, all of the filler... You know, the wacky misadventures they got through. Yeah, that was about maybe like 10 panels in the manga? Because all it really is them having
even,
some little...
Yeah,
just they're having talks back and forth. Actually, it's kind of funny, you know, Bulma even said, like, what are you two doing? And they're like, we're battling in our minds. As if that was just normal. Yeah, just like, okay. Yeah, that's just what they were doing. But, you know, so all that was filler. But still, yeah, it's just filler. Speaking of, you know, the person who wrote this movie is kind of funny. I mean, yes, we have Akira Toriyama who technically, you know, made, you know, the idea itself. But, and it does say that it was, you know, they say the story, right, was written by Akira Toriyama. However, the screenplay was written by Takao Koyama. Which is very funny because he actually has not worked on a lot of DBZ. He's only worked on a few of the movies, and it's just extremely funny, if only because, you know, he just seems to be the person who would just, you know, work on, you know, certain, like DBZ-wise, he isn't a guy who's like, oh yeah, big in DBZ, right? He just wrote the first three films. And I think that's what's very interesting, where it's just you can see how the first three films do have kind of similar tones, I would say.
Yeah.
Yes. But actually, sadly, I don't know how many of the films that he wrote. You know, when going, you know, with our future podcasts in the weeks that come up, we'll definitely see how many of them he's written. But I can confirm to you that he did write this movie as well as... No, if I'm correct, as well as the last two. Also, he's written, it's funny, again, he's written a lot of screenplays for Dragon Ball, Saint Seiya, and Sailor Moon. Funny, because only the movies. Right?
Yeah.
And, yeah, so I think he's just that guy who just gets brought in for the movies, you know, because they're only, I mean, think about it, they're only 1 hour, you know, things, and they're fun, but they aren't anything crazy. But that's why you're going to have these inconsistencies where it's just, they're camping. I'm pretty sure she didn't like the whole camping thing.
Yeah.
What's going
on
here?
Not to mention, you know, Chi-Chi doesn't let Gohan out of her sight, you know, normally. But she's okay with them gone for a few days out camping and, you know,
Chi-Chi
collecting the Dragon Balls in the beginning,
Chi-Chi,
you know.
Chi-Chi was watching them. Don't think that she wasn't. She was there.
Right. You're right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That'd
no, she
foolish.
Was... If you really focus hard, she was the fire. It was all fake.
Oh,
like,
shit.
She was just, she was the fire. Like, she was just like, no one will notice if I move around like this.
And it's
I mean, hell,
if,
think about, you know, think about her dad and think about where she grew up. She was the fire. You know, it's in her blood.
Oh God.
Yeah. Think about all that stuff, man. She was fire.
Although,
what were you going to say?
If Chi-Chi, like, I don't know, thinking from her mindset, oh, I want you to grow up and have, you know, a practical job or whatever and be a normal person, Gohan and Krillin just demonstrated that they could be amazing firefighters. Not gonna lie.
And what's great is that I don't know if you're aware, firefighting is a very big profession in Japan. I mean, of course, it's big in America as well, but no one really thinks about how these people are actually revered for what they do. I mean, there's even a firefighter manga. A lot of firefighters go on Ninja Warrior, or in Japan, as it's known, as Sasuke. And yeah, it's actually kind of funny. So what I also would like to believe is that this movie, the guy, you know, even though it's the same guy who's written a few of the movies, the guy who wrote this movie is a major hippie. Great guy.
Oh.
But he was very into the whole Mother Earth thing, you know?
Oh, well, that you can definitely see in this movie.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, nothing confirms that he's into the Mother Earth. Like, no, nothing tells me this guy enjoys Mother Earth. But you know what tells me that? You know, the movie.
Yeah.
The movie tells me that, you know? So,
well, I mean, it's more of a thing, like, now that you've said that, it's like, oh, this makes more sense now.
Yeah.
That kind of thing,
no.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. Another thing I would like to mention is that Chi-Chi has also ascended the level of Super Saiyan. See, it's not widely known, but
wait, what?
Because of Chi-Chi's ability to be an overbearing parent, she always has to be one step ahead of Gohan. So strangely, no matter where he went, she was always one power level ahead of him. Ready? So even though he became, you know, Mystic Gohan, she was Super Mystic Chi-Chi. And things like, what's great is that he believed me for a second, everyone. For a split second, he thought, where are you?
My God.
Where did Toriyama say this? you know, he actually said this in the 1996 Shonen Jump, which came out in January.
Oh, my God, are you actually excited?
Yeah, right? No, he did not say this. He did not say this. Also, yes,
okay.
I was correct. With not about that, mind you. I'm going back just to make sure.
No, that's totally canon.
Yeah, that's totally canon, everyone. If you don't know about it, read the manga. That's why you should be reading. Yeah, right?
Oh, God.
But I'm looking up, and I saw that The World's Strongest was also written by the same writer. And now going back to, you know, the Dead Zone, just to make sure, I'm going to see that it was written by the same writer. And it was. Takao Koyama wrote the first three films. And it's funny because you can tell how, you know, now that I am correct, because I knew I was correct but had to just make sure, now you can really see how the movies progress. How it progresses with the series progression where, you know, originally, I mean, I'm not going to say that this movie, you know, that the series was grounded in Earth. You know, the series wasn't grounded with, oh, well, you know, that makes sense, right? Never,
yeah.
You know, it was always mystical. It was always, you know, always something. Yeah, exactly, right? I mean, you know, basically. But what I think is great about this, is that now we finally have the shift from a more fantasy series to a cosmic focus series. Where some of that fantasy does come back with people like Majin Buu. I mean, heck, Bibbidi-Bobbidi-Boo. Obviously, that, you know, and demons, they're bringing back that magic for that, you know, for that specific season. But before that,
right.
If you noticed, we got very sci-fi. Yes, I know the last movie was sci-fi. Fair enough. But still, it wasn't, we didn't get to the point where it's just aliens because, and that's what ended up happening. Think about
still-
it.
It was still someone from Earth. It wasn't, you know, the enemy is now coming from the deepest reaches of space.
Exactly, because when you think about it, movies 3, 4, 5, and 6 all deal with space, you know, people from space. And the 6th one even dealt with them going into space.
Yep.
You know, 7th, you know, we got back into just normal sci-fi, right? Oh, it's just normal sci-fi androids, you know, nothing weird. And then, and then movie 8, we go back to aliens. 9, back to aliens. 10, aliens again. 11, that same damn alien doesn't want to die. That guy, bio alien, just doesn't want to die. And even though you might say it's also still sci-fi, still though, sci-fi is. I want to say it's kind of new because, I mean, yes, we did have sci-fi elements in the original series, but it was mostly just robots, things that seem kind of, you know, quote-unquote, they were sci-fi, especially for its time. But right. they weren't, you know, I don't think they were as big as, let's say, you know, and bioengineering or some of the other things yeah. that we get in the later series, where it's just, you know, you have people with doomsday machines.
Yeah.
Yes. But also you can tell how, you know, it also shifted in fighting, where, you know, they made the jump from, you know, just kung fu into, in the first two films, into using a lot of energy blasts. And because you have the, you know, either the Z Fighters or the Z Warriors, whatever you prefer to call them, now that they're there, they're, you know, they have the opportunity to showcase a lot of their moves. And,
right.
you know, things like, you know, Destructo Disc and this and that. And it shows, you know, and what was it, you know, Solar Flare, oh, and all that stuff, where they're able to show, like, hey, we have powers now, instead of just being, I mean, even Master Roshi makes a joke about it at the end, where it's like, you know, what happened when you can just punch, you know, it's like, what happened when you just put up your dukes and punched people?
Oh, God,
and it's true. Yeah. And it's so true. And it's so true, because back in his day, that's why I will admit, I said this once on the air, I'll say it again, I would enjoy a Master Roshi prequel, because I think it's just so interesting to see, you know, back in the day when it was just kung fu, and things like floating and throwing a, you know, a Kamehameha wave was just, whoa, this guy's
yeah.
going hardcore, this is, you know, this is completely out of the park, I can't believe this, where now it's just Kamehameha wave. My daughter farts Kamehameha waves.
Good
right?
point.
How about you? Yeah. How about you try something crazy? Like, well, yeah, but my Kamehameha waves can destroy the world. My other daughter, the younger one, every time she sneezes, a galaxy blows up. Listen, all right, kid. I'm sure you're trying to be tough here, all right? But look at the universe you're in, okay?
Or like how they opened up, you know, the first Broly movie. Oh, God, the South Galaxy's been destroyed. Wait, what?
Yeah. I want everyone to understand, even though we'll get to that when we get to the eighth movie, let us put emphasis on it. An entire galaxy was destroyed, everybody. So, I would like to jump to the Tree of Might itself, because when I see the Tree of Might, all I can think of is Evil Dead. It's all I can think of. It's kind of bad. And you really need to see the movie if you haven't yet, Tristan. All I can see is that tree. Yeah. Either that or Yggdrasil. Which, I don't know if you know about what Yggdrasil is. You probably do, and you just don't remember. It's
okay.
actually a tree from Norse mythology. It was also, you know, it's usually, you know, when you have Thor, let's say, the movie Thor, you know, it also
right.
shows the tree, sort of. Basically, it's the tree that, you know, from its branches, you know, it's what connects all nine worlds. Right?
Okay.
It made me think of that a bit, if only because, you know, I mean, just a giant tree, you know, just popping up. And it's also very powerful and things like that. So, I don't know, like, these little things kind of just popped into my head because, I mean, you know, we shouldn't really write off some of these, you know, creations, even though people make jokes a lot where it's like, oh, Japan, right? And we do that
yeah.
a lot. We'll do it during this podcast. I mean, yeah. No, because the little pictures that they showed of, like, things dying all over the earth, wouldn't fly in America. Oh, Japan, right? That'll
yeah.
be okay. But
yeah.
we should never, never dismiss another culture's ideas for not being intelligent enough to have been picked up from somewhere else. Like, don't assume,
right.
and I know it might sound weird, but just assume that, you know, remember, a lot of our movies were released over there, right? And a lot of us have seen their movies as well. So, you know, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of cross-influence. I mean, look at something like, let's say, Panay and Stocking, or look at, you know, Quentin Tarantino's film Kill Bill. You know, there's a lot of influence coming from both sides. So I know someone might say, well, Evil Dead, really? Well, yeah, when Evil Dead was made in the 80s, and this movie came out in the 90s. It's like, yeah, there was enough time for someone to actually, hey, look, watch the movie.
Yeah.
You know, this movie came out in, not 1989. What are you doing here, Dead Zone? You're not here anymore. We already made a podcast about you that you can check out in our archives. There's no reason for you to be here, Dead Zone. Go away. Now, who's, there we go. There you are, Tree of Might. So Tree of Might was not made in 1989, which, by the way, is before both Tristan and I were born. So that's pretty scary.
Yeah.
Oh, it was made in 1990. Tree of Might was in 1990, still before we were born. That's some scary stuff right there.
Yeah.
Also, it shows that they released these movies relatively quick. I mean, Tree of Might is the third film. The first film was Dead Zone, and that was in 89. possibly
right.
early. Yeah, this was in July 7th, 1990. And then over here
like
in
said,
the...
They would release them in Japan, like, over the summer, right?
Yes, but... yes, but remember, this is the third film. So the second film got released somewhere in between those, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
Remember that. So I'll check them up right now because I think that it's very interesting. But but while I'm doing that, let's talk about, you know, the let's move forward, right? I enjoy,
yeah.
Okay, what I think is funny, I picked out a specific quote. And, you know, it's Turles, right? Your father and I are both of Saiyan blood, cut from the same cloth. So you're saying you're brothers. You can't just say all Saiyans look like Goku. You know, since Vegeta is, just, well, not Goku.
Yeah.
So what are you trying
to say,
Turles?
Yeah. Like, it was funny, like, looking at that, I never really got, well, okay, other than the fact they look, yes, okay, they have the same hairstyle, I get it, but I never really got, like, people would go, oh, are they brothers? I'm like, no, why would you think that? But now that
really
put emphasis on that line, I guess I could see why people
well,
would...
Well, remember,
think
that is a Funimation line that, you know, that isn't exactly
true.
A, you know, but I still,
although,
I still would like to, what?
I actually did for this movie in particular. I did take a look at quite a few Ocean Dub clips of the movie, and I do believe they both use that line.
Well,
if
also
not,
remember
not
no,
word for
remember
word.
Something. Please remember that the Ocean Dub version. Depending on which version you saw, if you saw a Toonami rip of the Ocean Dub version, which probably doesn't exist anymore. Right, but if you did, then I would say, oh, that's interesting, because that was obviously cut. Like, you know, it was made edited. However,
yeah.
I will say this: once we got to the DVDs, which is what you probably did see, those were uncut. So I'm pretty sure that the scripts are relatively close for both uncut versions, because why would they
yeah.
need to be any different?
Right.
You know, other than
well,
certain things here and there.
Was this at the point, because didn't Funimation at one point have to kind of look at the Ocean Dubs to get an idea of what they were going to be working on at one point?
Well, no, 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 because remember that these movies were redone so far down the line that you could actually say they were done recently. I mean, they were done after the series was even over.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, yes. But, yes, if anyone doesn't know, there are a lot of different, there are actually a lot of different dubs of, you know, DBZ in general. I mean, you know, in all different languages. But even the UK had a dub of some of these movies. yes, if anyone doesn't know, if anyone's unaware, there's this, you know, what many have called the Big Green dub. It's very interesting. What I'd like to do is I'd like to explain this scene. So basically the scene when, you know, Turles is saying some of the stuff to Gohan and is, you know, trying to torment him and Piccolo comes to save the day. So there's Turles, Gohan, and Piccolo. Now I would like to play a clip for the listening audience.
Please do it.
So here's a clip. Here we are.
Answer me. Who are you?
It's Big Green!
Let that child alone.
I have never taken orders from anyone.
Now you will.
I think his scream at the end made that. I think the scream at the end. I know. I'm happy you kept your composure during it. You want to know something that I think we all should take note of, in case no one picked that up? That was the original Japanese music. Apparently, they put more care into their actual, you know, audiovisual than their actual actors. Because please look this up. Big Green, you know, is what people mostly... Because, yes, Gohan looked at him and called Piccolo Big Green. So clearly, and the actors, as you can hear, are pretty bad. But I would like to, in the UK's defense, though, for them, let that child alone is actually valid. Like, that's a valid way to use the term. So I don't want to critique them on Let That Child Alone. However, everything else is completely fair game. I mean, even though I love Turles's, even though I love Turles's voice, still, it's just, I've never taken orders from anyone.
Yeah.
Like, Let That Child Alone. I've never taken orders from anyone. You will now. Like, what? Like, okay. I don't understand why that's needed, but okay.
Yeah.
let's
not even get into Come Magic Cloud.
Yes, exactly. Right. Just at one point during the movie, it wasn't during this movie. It was during another movie. Goku was calling for Nimbus.
Strongest, I think.
Thank you. Yes, it was. So he was calling for Nimbus, and Goku has the most manliest voice. I mean, oh my God, he's so manly that I think it'll just you can't turn straight people gay. Right? That doesn't exist. Right? You're either gay or you're straight. No. Goku's voice can turn straight people gay. It can happen. It's an anomaly. But there's no science behind it. Strangely enough, there's no science behind my unscientific, unbacked, joke at all. But it can happen. Because seriously, just imagine Goku, right? First off, he looks like Goku. So that's good enough. And all of a sudden, he just screams, "Come, Magic Cloud!" Whoa!
Whoa.
Like, hey, Goku, you have a wife or something? But moving forward, I like the fake moon because there's a bunch of fake moons throughout the series, usually all in filler. But I love the fake moons because all I imagine is that all I can see is just that somewhere that day on Earth, Michael J. Fox had the worst day ever. All I can imagine is it's daytime. Rawr, get away. Being human just went really bad. Every single show that involves a werewolf in some fashion just got completely out of whack. Right? Everything was just done. Just did not work. It was just a terrible, terrible, terrible occurrence.
Yeah.
But hey, you know what? It happens. But anyway, if anyone wants to call in, we have 20 minutes left. If anyone wants to call in, please call in at 718-664-9468. I know you're listening, Anthony. 718-664-9468. I do that every once in a while just to unnerve only the people that I love. And, please tell me beforehand that you are, that you're listening so I can call you out and publicly embarrass you on the radio. But not if you want to call in and I don't know you, or if you want to call in and I do know you, I will not embarrass you. I really do think that, when it comes to these movies and everything, I don't know about Tristan. I'm pretty sure though that Tristan, agrees as well. I think it's great if you, are passionate about this and you really want to call and just show how passionate you are because, it shows. That's why we're doing this, because we love, we love Dragon Ball Z. I mean, jumping back to something that we've mentioned on some other DBZ podcasts, we saw this live. We saw this when it aired on television.
Yep.
Which is magical, especially when you think that kids today, working with high school kids myself, kids today, they get their own little magical moments, yes, but they don't get that DBZ moment.
Nope.
No matter how many times you can sit, you can sit one of the kids down. There's like, but Matt, Speech and Debate, shut up and watch his DBZ movie. No matter how many times you can do that to the kid, it's not that magical moment. It's more like, I got to go home. I'm getting hungry. I need to pee. I don't do that to the kids. The kids are great, though. I don't do that to the kids. I really want to put that out there. That was a joke. All right, I like my job. I would really like to keep it. Thank you. Another quote that I really enjoyed. No joke, I just really like this quote. Goku and Turles talk about Turles being evil. And Turles just says, he's like, I know the difference. I just don't care.
I just don't care. Yeah.
I love that line because it shows you that, there is obviously right and wrong, but there is no, I'm going to change my way. Like, of course I know the difference, but, I give a damn. Ha ha, explosion.
Yeah. I'm going to kill you. I don't really give a shit what you have to say. Now, do I?
Yeah, exactly.
And, when he uses the fake moon to turn Gohan into, a raging great ape, it's like, Turles is just screwing with them. He's having fun. Yeah. He's like,
basically,
in this for the walls. I'm just waiting for my tree to be done.
Yeah, basically. Oh, speaking of the tree, I love Goku so much. I love the man to death, don't you? He's so great,
yes.
Isn't he? Just
yep.
Turles is about to eat the fruit. Well, Goku knows nothing about... All he knows about the fruit is that it takes energy from the earth. That's all he knows.
Right.
So Turles
exactly.
is about to eat the fruit. Goku's response? Oh, wait. Yeah.
You think I can have a taste when you're done? Sure. Yeah, no.
Yeah,
and then
that's all I feel. Really, guys?
Yep. He just sits there and lets him eat the goddamn thing. I mean,
yeah.
Shit. Like, during the fight, even... Well, that's another thing with dialogue that I found was different between, like, Ocean Dub and Funimation Dub.
Right.
During their fight, when they're running around, like, in Ocean... I noticed in the Ocean clip that Turles goes, you know, wow, his power level is increasing as the battle goes on. What's going on here? I've never seen this before. You know, it's skyrocketing.
Yes.
And then in the Funimation dub, it's that same scene,
mm-hmm.
but you hear him go, well, that was a cheap shot. I won't let it happen again. It's like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah, I think, I don't know what he was, you know, it's funny because, you know, I think we also have to definitely look at the Japanese version as well, because what happens is that, you know, you'll have... you know, sadly, even though I love Funimation, and honestly, as a, you know, as a future voice actor, I would love to work with them one day. However, yes, with some of their scripts, you know, they do tend to be a bit more liberal than I think, you know, someone should.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, the Japanese needs to be the way it is, because Japanese, you know, when you translate it to English, you need to be liberal, obviously, to make it, you know, make
right.
sense and kind of, but I still do think that, you know, at the same time, there are certain things that are taking liberties, where it's just, okay, yeah, I don't think you're, you know, it's like, I don't think you're being, you know, you're changing the characters up here. You know, you're not really being as accurate as you could be. While still understanding, like I understand Gohan's a kid. You shouldn't make him sound like, you know, this really old person by saying certain lines. Like, instead of dad, be like, father? Like, that sounds weird. You know?
Yeah.
So or you're not father. You know, it's like, I understand. I'm looking at the Japanese version right now. It's playing in the background. I understand.
You're not my dad.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I understand why that would work.
Right.
Be clean. Right? I understand why things like that would work.
Right.
But not necessarily certain changes. Some of those did happen in the Garlic Jr. saga as well, I think, when we did our podcast on that. You know, things like that. Also, speaking, you know, moving forward, I would like to mention that, you know, before we mentioned how they all fight in each other's minds, you know, Goku and Gohan, it's like, Gohan and Krillin, just, you know, Bulma, so what are you guys doing? We're fighting each other in our minds. Okay, right? Same thing happens here in this movie, by the way. I just enjoy how they're all just talking to each other telepathically, and no one bats an eye.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, after they're all talking to Goku after, you know, Turles beat the crap out of Goku and then proceeds to beat the crap out of all of his friends again after his henchmen beat the crap out of them.
I'm not going to lie. Turles seems a bit creepy. I'm watching the Japanese version. He says, hey, boy, would you like to come with me? We can travel the entire universe to wherever we want to. We can, you know, we can pillage together. And he says, and we can do things like eating delicious foods and drinking delicious wines. There is no more enjoyable life than this. I'm not going to lie. It's pretty creepy.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, I know what he was... Yeah.
I guess it's just supposed to be that more even contrast to Goku, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, because I think you've actually heard... I heard someone point out one day, like, just a general thing that they said, not really looking too in-depth into the movie. They're just like, what if Goku was evil? I was just like, oh.
Right. No, it's quite true. It's quite true. Also, I can
like,
safely
never
assume...
never like that before, and then I was just like, oh, wow.
No, and another thing, something that
what
I can...
What have I been doing?
Yeah, right? No, and another thing that I can also see as well is I can also see that, you know, what I also can see is that, you know, I lost my train. The train of thought's gone. Everyone board the train. Oh, wait, no, it's gone. What I was going to say, right, okay. What I was going to say is that, you know, the actress who does Goku's voice in Gohan and you know, in Goten, and also does, you know, Turles, if anyone doesn't know.
Right.
Mind you, referring to the Japanese, right? As I'm sure, you know, with her other roles, see, a lot of people actually, I don't know if we've actually been able to talk about this on the air, but I really want to put this to rest. See, a lot of people say, oh, it's the same lady doing everyone. That's stupid.
Yeah, that's
actually
not true.
I mean, your opinion can be that it's stupid, but, you know, because, you know, you want it to be maybe a different, but here's the reason why you need to understand, because, you see, Japanese is not a language, it's a language that is foreign to many of us, so many of us don't understand the little intricacies and little things that are done. Same thing with the English language. If someone who was Japanese was listening to the English language, you know, they might have certain perceptions that may not...
Yeah.
Work well. Like, let's just say, you know, and I hate to say this, but let's just say someone's, you know, because a lot of Japanese people, not a lot, but there are a decent amount of Japanese people that enjoy the hip-hop culture of America. And that's why you have something like Afro Samurai come out, which, yes, that's actually Japanese. It was, you know,
yeah.
It was made English first, but the original creator was Japanese. What?
Afro Samurai was really cool, by the way.
Oh, yes,
totally
it was.
Check that out, too.
Oh, no, definitely check that out. We'll probably end up doing a podcast about that on another day. Definitely check out Afro Samurai.
But
here's what I want to bring up. I bring it up because, you know, let's just say a Japanese person who enjoys that hip-hop culture, right, sees an African-American male talking. And he's dressed up like a thug, but is speaking completely eloquently, does not give off a quote-unquote thuggish behavior. But if a Japanese person doesn't know English, they assume that that is a thug. Right?
Right?
Even though they don't, they just see the person like, oh, that's, you know, that's a hip-hop guy, that's a rapper, that's, and it's very upsetting because the same thing can be applied when you flip this around, where if you don't understand Japanese, you don't understand that she's doing different voices for everyone. Sure, you might think, oh, no, but it's still the high-pitched thing. Yeah, but but for some of them, it's the difference between being, you know, being a like a southern accent, where Goku being a hick gets a southern accent, compared to Gohan,
right.
Which at first, when he's younger, he uses, like, you know, Boku and certain things to show, like, oh, I'm a little boy. And then when he grows up, the voice does get a bit more stern and actually speaks as a well-educated person would.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Like,
I've
taken, actually, some elementary Japanese over the last semester, so...
Hmm.
So I've, you know, not a lot, but I've noticed a few, you know, just small little things that you wouldn't know about the Japanese language unless you actually took a course or, you know, looked it up or read about it.
Or
very,
Japanese,
very subtle,
or, you know,
well, yes.
Yes.
There are very subtle things that you wouldn't pick up on.
No, and it's funny because, yes, you know, I know that you've only taken, you know, a semester. It's nothing crazy, but just little things where other people, you know, like mostly just the public that, you know, you'll talk to, it'll be like, yo, you know, I hate Goku's voice. It's so, you know, Japanese. It's so stupid. And because it sounds like a little girl, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then his son is the same and this and that. And it's like you have to really, you know, it's sad because it's just the little subtleties that you would never pick up on. And I understand, I'm not saying that, you know, I wanted Goku's English voice to either be, a female trying to be male or to be a guy in a southern accent. But it would have fit, actually. You know, it's kind of funny. It would have fit. Just a little tiny bit of it thrown in every once in a while. It would have fit because even to this day, you know, as a way to kind of, you know, what the show does with the continuity and everything, even to this day, you know, in the show's universe, Goku still speaks with that southern accent. It never left him.
Yeah.
You know, he speaks with that, you know, an accent that'd be like, you know, that if he were actually fighting, it'd just be like, all right, listen here, Turles, you know, like little things like that. And then you have, you know, you have Gohan who, he doesn't speak like that. But what's cute is that Goten does, because Goten is so young that he hasn't really gone to school yet. So he has a little bit of his mom's accent.
Yeah.
Just little things that you won't really notice.
Yeah, exactly.
And I can safely assume that Turles possibly speaks just you know, the same exact way Vegeta does, Where, by the way, yes, if anyone didn't know, Vegeta is very high class. You know, unlike, even though I love, you know, Christopher Sabat for you know, for a lot of his voices and for the talent that he has, you know, some of newer Sabat's work makes Vegeta seem as if it's just, you know, it's like he's the Prince of all Saiyans, but he also loves them cigarettes, you know? I mean, Marlboro, that's where it's at for him. All right, so he doesn't know. I don't know how he finds it, but every single time he finds intergalactic gas stations and just, you know, and just buy, you know, buys them by the carton, right? And that's, I think that's, and by the way, not even saying that, you know, Brian Drummond was still pretty raspy himself.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying that, you know, that would actually be a voice that I would prefer to sound a bit more regal, I think.
Hmm.
You know, not that I'm saying, let's say, Chris Sabat's Zarbon voice would seem better,
oh,
but
God.
A voice, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying
yeah.
that. But what I am
no,
saying
no,
is that,
no,
you
no.
know, a bit of kick to it, a bit of, you know, it's like, I'm the principal Saiyans. You know, something a bit more like, oh, well, yeah, I mean, he's royalty. You know?
Yeah, I kind of feel
yeah.
like Carlos had that a little bit.
A little bit.
A very little bit, but, like, compared to Vegeta, you know?
Yes, and I
like,
understand.
Like, Vegeta
I mean,
was basically just the hard ass.
And it's funny, because I will admit, I really do, I want so badly, if, okay, even though they may have needed him to be better at acting in, you know, as a voiceover role, still, the guy who in the UK who just did that voice for Turles, like, his voice is beautiful. Listen to his voice, you know, go on YouTube, look up clips of this. You know, it's a beautiful thing. His voice is just, oh, it's gorgeous. It really makes Turles seem like this, like, dastardly Bond villain. and no, it really does, and I really, really, really enjoy it. But anyway, so, yeah, getting back to the hippie thing, you know, before I ask you to, you know, talk about some things yourself, I just love how Turles is just, you know, just Turles is like, the spirit bomb comes back. How did this happen? I have the power of nature inside. Freaking hippie. I don't know why Turles became Brian Drummond Vegeta, but still, it's like, you hippie, like, you know, it's like, I have the power of nature inside me.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, it's like, okay. Like, it's
and
really,
then he gets
it's
shot
really
up the tree.
Yes, and then he shot up the tree. Something I love how it's like, yeah, his nature defeated technology, defeated this alien race, and you can definitely see how, you know, this writer kind of enjoys that, or at least wanted to specifically let that out in this specific
yeah.
screenplay.
That was
definitely yeah.
like a theme that I really loved out of this movie.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like, look,
you know, be one with the Earth.
Yeah. Looking back at it, I feel like, you know, there are a few things, like, I feel like it was lacking a little bit. I feel
yeah.
like a little more development of where the fuck did they get the Tree of Might from, A, and maybe even a little blurb about, you know, Turles instead of, oh, I'm just a space pirate, you know, walking around, flying around space with, you know, a tree in my back pocket. Gonna, you know, make myself incredibly strong with this. I mean, yeah, that's cool too, but.
No, I agree. I agree. I think a lot of, and it's funny because, you know, it's not even that this movie is the only thing. Bleach does that a lot as well, where Bleach, I think, introduces this amazing cast of characters that sometimes they'll get backstories, but sometimes they won't get as much as we wish, where it's just, wow, you're very interesting. You're very cool. Oh, you're a bad guy. You just died.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people get that in Bleach, and I can see that as well with some of these movies, where, you know, you might look at Cooler and you might go, okay, well, he's fine. He's Frieza's brother. That's all. That's
yeah,
all
well,
he is. That's, you
yeah.
know, like, he's been established. Lord Slug, oh, ancient Namekian? Okay, fine.
Yeah.
He's not even meant to still be one of the Namekians that's around? Okay, fine.
Right.
Turles, it's yeah. just, oh, he used to be a Saiyan. Not even referencing Frieza, actually talking about the higher life. Like, did you know, in the Japanese version, now you're sitting here thinking, wait, did he, you know, did he abandon Frieza?
Yeah.
Well, you know, before any of this purge stuff, was he just like, you know what, I'm out of here. I'm just Turles.
Left,
I don't
and no one noticed?
Talk. Yeah, or no one cared. You know, it's
that
a
too.
Very...
Yeah.
That would be really sad. Just no one cared. I feel like... It was my birthday party that day.
Like,
they all
I mean,
just left.
I think they even made a, like, with the ocean dub, I realized they had used a lot more of, like, power levels.
Right. Oh, yeah, those were funny.
Oh, yeah, because I think at one point, Charles, I could be remembering this wrong, but I think he said something about a power level over a million.
Yes, yes.
And I was
so for
just
some
like,
reason,
wait a minute.
For some reason, they really tried hard to do stuff like that when it was completely irrelevant. You know, when you actually got up to things. Like, it was just great, because I wonder what happened. Technically, it was never dubbed, but had they actually gotten up to the part with Frieza, with the actual over a million power level, I wonder what they would have done.
Yeah,
I
mean,
I
would
really
they have just made power levels even more ridiculous?
Yeah, Frieza's power level is over 1 billion. But anything else you want to mention? You know, we're wrapping up a bit.
Yeah, just one more thing, I guess, to wrap up. I do really like the fact, if you look at Goku's fight with Turles' henchmen, and you look at, well, you didn't see much of Turles fighting the Z Fighters, but a few hits here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, it kind of struck me as, just rewatching it now, like almost like a samurai showdown between, you know, the other guy's grunts, and how both of them have the skill to basically, you know, obliterate the other guy's grunts, basically.
Goku
drops
that.
The henchmen along with Turles dropping the Z Fighters one after the other.
Right.
And just looking back at that, I'm like, that was really cool. I thought that was really cool.
No, it was really nice. You know, I mean, there are certain little things here and there that I think as adults we can really appreciate about, you know, the fight scenes and things like that, where it's just, as a kid, all we thought was, ooh, fights.
Yeah.
And now we've grown up.
Yeah, and the one, you know, the last showdown, not to mention that, you know, Turles stopped the spirit bomb. Not like Frieza, who took it and lived. No, Turles stopped it.
Yeah.
He blew it the fuck up. Holy shit.
I would like to say that I assume Namek might have more green than we do, possibly. That may be why it was bigger for Frieza. But still, we've taken the power, and what does Turles do? It doesn't even act as if the power went back into the earth. Just nope. Crush.
Nope. And then, then they go into the second showdown, and that's the one that I love. Just that tense moment where they both stare each other down. And it didn't even feel like it was lacking. You know, I felt like the tension was high enough at that moment where they could afford to take that, you know, 1 minute just to do a silent stare down.
Oh, yeah.
And you see, you know, the spirit bomb come out, and then you see Turles blast, his scouter explodes, and the shootout commences, and then Turles gets shot up the Tree of Might and blows up.
And the pictures, because yes, they are basically pictures of, you know, them both just in the white aura. It's just, damn, like, Japan, what are you doing to these kids, man? It's just also cool. It's also cool. Like, you can't be ashamed of liking this. If you are, what's wrong with you? That's just But seriously though, we have to end the show soon. You know, I'd like to thank you guys for listening in. And, you know, please like us on Facebook. Our Facebook is Those Guys on the Radio. Those Guys on the Radio, if you're looking at the URL, right? If you're searching, it's Those Guys. And, you know, definitely like us because, you know, if you like this show, you know, understand that we do these on a weekly basis, Tristan and I. So you're going to hear more. And when are they coming? Well, you don't know yet. So you should like the Facebook page. You know, that will be how this works. So I wanted to
through there. Definitely be seeing updates through there, so.
Oh yeah, you know, most definitely. So, you know, that's really it. I mean, what else shall we say other than thank you guys for listening to Those Guys. I am Matt Marrero along with Tristan
Walter.
Yeah, I was calling your name. No,
okay.
And that's all.
Well,
so
thank you very much, everybody.
Yep, thank you very much. Now here's where we would end this show. Sadly, though, Blog Talk Radio is trying to sabotage me and force me to talk to you guys for 30,000 minutes. Now I'll do it. Wait, no, Blog Talk Radio is working. All right, well, I have places to be, everyone. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay, Matt.
I'm sorry. I love all of you. I wish I could stay. I really do. I really care.
Just get out.
Okay, fine. I'm currently going to play us out. And yes, so thank you guys for listening to those guys.
Have a good night.
Let's go.